You used to laugh that people were stupid that they thought the rings were going to work when you throw the rings. And he said, when you hit the sledgehammer, it can never reach the top, Dan. There's a pulley up there that fucking brings it back down again. It's a fucking joke. But he has no conscience. It's only by the grace of God he's not on that wall, and he's on that wall. But see, he doesn't mind embarrassing himself. He doesn't mind engaging in self-deprecation. He's got no fucking education. And you're hindered by the very things that he takes advantage of. And he has a big, huge fucking following. But the negative shit in the internet is just as much as the positive shit about him. He's got blogs, he's got people, sites that are up again that say he's a fucking crook thief. But why is he different? Is his lack of education? It's because he's got self-esteem. I don't know where the fuck he got it, but he's got it. He's got self-esteem. He was never a world-class athlete, and he actually thinks he's good-looking on top of it all. We used to do infomercials with him. And he couldn't believe, when we test the infomercials, how little effect the infomercials with him in the fucking thing were. He wouldn't believe it. He made us run him over and over and over. Then we got the midgets, the Rice Brother midgets. Everybody know who the Rice Brothers? They're before your time. They're two little guys about this tall. One's dead now. Greg and whatever. One of the midgets, they were abandoned when they were born. And then together, one is 23 inches tall, one is 24 inches tall. And they used to sell life insurance in Florida. And one would sit on the shoulders of the other, and he'd knock on the door, and then the peephole would look at him, look over their head, and you couldn't see him. So then when the door would open, the two little midgets would be there. And they got rich. The people loved the infomercials with him in it. Loved it. And I remember we're at a deal in Incline Village, Nevada. And we went out drinking, which is kind of a misnomer. And one of them drove. They liked driving themselves. And they had a little special thing with all the dials and shit on the steering wheel they could drive. And we go out, and I swear to God, on that much wine, they get loaded. That much. And one was a vegetarian, and one ate meat. And they both looked the same, exactly the same. The vegan, the vegetarian's the one that died early, not the fucking meat eater. But I mean, we used to run these infomercials, they were just dynamite. They were so fucking funny, these two guys. And the Rice Brothers were about 2 or 3 years younger than I was at the time. But they would do anything. And whatever they did, they had self-esteem. And I hope one of the Rice is still alive. They were cute little guys. They were really fucking funny. And some of the stories, one was married to a regular person, woman, and one wasn't married. But some of the stories that the guy that was married, his brother, he wouldn't talk about his sex life with his wife. But his brother was familiar with the sex life of his brother with his wife. You laugh until you pissed your pants. It was so fucking funny. The first time one of the little guys had sex. You can't imagine. In your wildest fucking fantasy. And I laughed until I cried. But these guys were hard-working little fuckers. And they lived in one of the rich areas and they had their house was all rebuilt for little guys. So you go in there. Their kitchen sink was like this high, you know, and the cupboards were like here. But they had self-esteem, more than most people in this goddamn room. Ron still has self-esteem. It's like everybody on that tape, that wall back there, had high self-esteem. So the game of the game is, how do you get it? Since your parents already fucked you up beyond recognition, and your self-esteem is built between your 0 and 7 or 8 years, in the Catholic Church, they say, you give me your child the first 7 or 8 years and I'll own him or her. It's true, because that's when self-esteem, and all the studies say self-esteem is built the first 7 to 8 years. So if you don't have it now, how do you build it? Well, you deal with people that have self-esteem. That's how you do it. All those people, and even the guys over there, the crooks, have high self-esteem. See, the differentiation isn't whether you're honest or dishonest. Both dishonest and honest people have high self-esteem. Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, Walt Disney, Stalin, Nixon, Steinbrenner, Aristotle Onassis, Steve Jobs, all had self-esteem. And that's the real differentiation. The people that have the most self-esteem find it easier to excel. It's that simple. For Matt and for Sheridan, the two youngest in the room, the world can be their oyster. The world should be their oyster. For the others, it's still possible, just harder. It's just harder. It's just harder. One of the main thrusts that we're going to carry on from tonight into tomorrow, everyone knows how to manage success, but no one ever asks, how do you manage failure? It's like when I used to teach in a university, I used to ask the question, how many classes have you ever had in buying a business? Nobody ever raised their hand. How many classes have you had in how to sell a business? Nobody ever raised their hand. How many classes have you had in leadership? Nobody ever raised their hand. Now there are a few classes out there. Middleburg College is the only college that I'm aware of that you can actually get a degree in leadership. Middleburg College is, I believe, in Ohio, that it's the only university, private university, that does not take government funding of any kind. And their board of directors used to have people like Maggie Thatcher, Henry Kissinger, etc. But the fact that our kids today, other than the military academies, there's not much leadership. There are leadership classes now. But 20 years ago when I started doing this, there weren't any. And there certainly weren't any classes on how to buy a business, how to sell a business. But when you go out into the real world and you're following the QLA model of acquisition through growth, growth through acquisition, excuse me, and if you don't know how to buy and sell a business, you're fucked. And that's what's so important about the Dream Team, because somebody on the Dream Team, two or three people on the Dream Team, will have experience doing that. In our particular case, both Clyde and I both have experience. And if the third member joins us, which I'm sure he will, he has experience. But it's all about finding somebody that believes in your story, and you in particular enough, that's willing to take the emotional risk of joining your team, being part of your Dream Team. All the people that I've alluded to so far, and I will continue alluding to, over the next few days, that are part of Dream Teams, each one of these guys has built their own Dream Team. I've been part of their Dream Teams in some cases, in some cases I haven't. Unfortunately, I've been part of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of their Dream Teams in the Hall of Shame before they went over to the dark side. And I've been through as many on the Hall of Fame as well. Okay. Any questions for anything? You understand the homework. And I hadn't forgotten our success test. I forgot to pick them up, and I don't hardly forget anything, but I forgot them after lunch. But we'll go over those tomorrow morning. You understand the homework assignments? Drinks are 7:30, dinner will be about 8 or 8:15, is that correct, Megan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, any questions from anybody? Yes?
You mentioned this private time stuff, does it start now?
Well, no, you gotta make an appointment with Kim.
But you can make an appointment?
Yes, you can, yeah. You can. Okay? Okay. Thanks.